Yeah. Goodness. Songwriter got it right. There's not words to explain what Jesus is. Amen. Goodness, I just feel so inadequate to just even to worship Him. Goodness, I don't know. This does something for me, Brother Allen. He's wonderful. Wonderful than my eyes can see. Amen. More wonderful than my mind, my heart can even believe and understand. That's Jesus. He's wonderful. Just want to bless His name this morning. Just want to worship Him. He's worthy. I mean, he's just worthy of our worship this morning, brethren. I'm just glad that I can worship the King. He's worthy. He's just so good to us. Thank God for Jesus, the dearest friend we've ever had. As Brother Brandon got up here and started talking, I just was thinking, man, thank God for Jesus. Where would we be without Jesus, brethren? We'd be in a mess today without Jesus. Thank God for Jesus. I just want to magnify and exalt and lift up Jesus. Jesus said, if I be lifted up, I'll draw all men to me. I pray to God this morning from the bottom of my heart. I pray that the singing this morning, that the special song, that the preaching of the Word of God, I pray it not lift up a singer. I pray it not lift up a preacher. I pray it not lift up a church. But I pray that everything that's done here today would lift up and magnify the Lord Jesus Christ, because that's who deserves it all. Jesus. Jesus. Thank God for Jesus. Amen. John chapter 15. I'm going to try to get into my message this morning. John 15. I'm going to preach a message to you this morning that will probably be a little different than many would expect on Independence Day. It's not your average Independence Day message. But I believe it's what God's laid on my heart. I believe it with all of my heart. I prayed about it, and I just really believe this is the message that God has for me this morning. It's a little different than what you might expect. Obviously, when you read the scripture was read this morning, you probably thought, I wonder how this is going to tie into Independence Day. And so I think here in a minute you'll see the connection. But before I get into my message, I do want to make this very clear. I'm thankful for my freedom. I'm thankful to live in America. I mean that. I'm thankful for the freedoms and the liberties that we have here in our country. Thank God for that. I'm thankful for the freedom to worship. Can I tell you, brother, there's folks today, I want to make this clear, we're not worshiping today because our Constitution says we can, okay? We're worshiping today because our conscience says we can, because there's a God in heaven that we can worship. There's folks in communist countries today that will worship God. So I'm thankful for that, but with all that being said, we could worship God whether we were in a free country or not. But I am thankful this morning. I mean that from the bottom of my heart. I have searched my heart about this matter, and I am very thankful this morning that I live in a country that as of right now, we have the liberty, we have the freedom to worship God. I'm thankful for that. We can worship God freely today. We didn't have to meet underground. We didn't have to hide out. No, we could worship our God in open, in public, freely today. I'm thankful for that. I'm thankful for our freedom to worship. I'm thankful this morning for our freedom to make wealth. Now, they're trying to strip that from us. But I'm thankful that right now we live in a country where you can go out and you can make a living. We live in a country where we have life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. We can go out. We can try and make wealth. I'm thankful for that. I'm thankful that we live in a country where we can enjoy the goodness of God. We can try to go out and make a wealth and provide for our family. I'm thankful that we live in a country where we can have a copy of the Word of God. You can go into Walmart in Rutgersville or Culpeper or any community in which you live in, and you can buy a copy of the Word of God, the King James Bible. You can go into a public place and purchase a Bible. I thank God for that. Many countries you can't do that in. And so I'm thankful this morning. I don't want anybody to misunderstand. I'm kind of putting this out there in introduction because I want everybody to understand that's here and those that are watching on live stream. I am very thankful for our freedom. I mean that. As a country, I'm thankful to live in a free country. Not only am I thankful that we live in a free country, but I'm also thankful for our freedom in our country, but I'm thankful for our freedom in Christ. Brethren, the Bible says in John chapter 8, verse number 36, if the Son therefore shall make you free, you shall be free indeed. Amen. I'm thankful this morning to be free. Amen. Not only am I free, not only did I live in a free society, but can I tell you this morning, I've been set free from sin. Amen. Romans chapter number 6, I thought about preaching on it this morning. Romans chapter number 6, the Bible says, I believe it's in verse number 7, verse number 18, and verse number 22, the Bible says that we've been set free from sin. He says you're free from sin in verse 7. In verse number 18 and verse 22, he says you're free from sin. Right? You see, we've been set free. In John chapter 8, if you read it, I won't go back for sake of time. It's only a couple pages back. But if you look in John chapter, go there. John chapter 8, I want you to see it real quick. John chapter 8, just a couple pages back. Jesus told his disciples, well, he told the Jews that had believed on him. The Bible says, I believe it's in verse number 30. It says in verse number 37. And Jesus, where am I at? Goodness gracious, I'm in John chapter 9. Let's go to chapter 8, right? John chapter 8 and verse number at verse 30, it says, as he spake these words, many believed on him. Verse 31 says, then said Jesus to those Jews which believed on him, if you continue in my word, then are you my disciples indeed. And ye shall know the truth. And look at it. The truth shall make you free. Look at verse number 33. The Bible says, they answered him, well, we be Abraham's seed, and we're never in bondage to any man. How sayest thou, ye shall be made free? Well, first off, I want to say that's not even true. I don't have time to preach at this morning, but Abraham's seed was in bondage. They were in bondage in Egypt for 400 years. They were slaves to Pharaoh and to the taskmaster. But Jesus says, hey, fellas, that's not even what I'm talking about. Look in verse number 34. Jesus answered them, verily, verily, I say unto you, whosoever committeth sin is the servant of sin. He said, well, you don't understand. I'm not talking about your national freedom here. I'm not talking about your freedom as a society or as a people. I'm talking about your freedom from sin. He said, you see, whosoever committed sin, whoever is living a life that is controlled under the dominion of sin, they're not free. But then Jesus tells them, fellas, hey, if the Son sets you free, you're free indeed. Yeah. Brethren, we've been set free. I'm glad this morning. You want to know why I get excited when they're singing about Jesus and how wonderful he is? One of the reasons I get excited is because I haven't forgotten what it's like to be a slave. I haven't forgotten what it's like to be in bondage. I haven't forgotten what it's like to have those shackles on my soul. But I thank God that October 16, 2005, Jesus set me free, brethren. Jesus set me free. Can I tell you, if you're here this morning, you're saved by the good grace of God, you ought to tell your face about it. Because you've been set free, brethren. You're free. You've been set free from bondage, from slavery, from sin. We've been set free. It says in Romans chapter 6, sin hath no more dominion over you. It doesn't have a power over you. We've been set free from the power of sin. We've been set free from the penalty of sin. You see, we were on our way to a devil's hell, and we're going to have to pay the penalty of sin. But Jesus took our place. He paid sin's debt for us, and now I've been set free. I don't have to pay for my sin. My sin was paid for over 2,000 years ago on the cross of Calvary. Jesus paid my sin debt, and I've been set free, brethren. I've been set free. I'm free. Goodness gracious, I wish some people would really get a hold of the fact this morning. You're free. We've been set free from the power of sin. We've been set free from the penalty of sin. And thank God one day, one glorious day, we're going to get set free from the presence of sin, from the very presence of sin. Thank God for that. Amen. Why? Because of Jesus. Amen. Because of Jesus. Amen. Nothing that I've done, not any good that I've done, not any good that you've done, not any good that anybody else has done. It's not by works of righteousness which we have done, but according to his mercy, he saved us by the washing of regeneration and the renewing of the Holy Ghost. You see, we've been set free, brethren. Set free. Whew. I'm going to try and calm down. I did not intend to do that this morning, but that song got something stirring on my inside. I'm just glad to be free this morning. I'm glad I'm free as a citizen of the United States of America, but I'm even gladder that I'm free as a citizen in heaven. Been set free. Whom the Son set free is free indeed. We're free. Thank God for that. But if you go back to John chapter 15, we'll get into my message this morning. We're in bondage. We were prisoners. I think that song Marcus sings is finished. It says, not all prisoners of war had come home. That verse right there just does something for me. I remember being that prisoner. I'm afraid there's folks in the building this morning. I mean it as I look across this auditorium. I'm not nobody's judge. But I'm afraid there's some folks in this building this morning. You're still a prisoner. You haven't been set free. Not because you don't shout and act the way I act. I don't mean that at all. God can stir your heart and you never shout one time. You just cry. You do what Pastor did. You just close your eyes and worship God. I'm not saying because you don't act the way I act, but I'm just saying because we'll see it in a little bit. It's no fruit. Never been set free. I want to encourage you today. Get set free. Jesus can set you free. But if we're not careful, and this is my message this morning, I'm afraid that our freedom can make us foolish. That's not the title of my message this morning, but I'm going there. I really am. I'm afraid that our freedom can make us foolish. Say, what do you mean, brother? I'll give you a couple examples, country and Christianity. In our country, I'm afraid that our freedom has made some people foolish. Say, well, I'm free. I'm an American. I'm free. I live in a free country. I can do what I want to do. It's my body. It's my choice. If I want to, I'll murder this baby. I'm free to do that in this country. It's legal to murder a baby in the United States of America. Yes, you're free to do that, but you're a fool. But it's foolish. Not being mean, I'm just being honest. We live in a country where people, their freedom has made them foolish. They think, well, I can marry, I'm a man, I can marry a man if I want to. I'm a woman, I can marry a woman if I want to. Yeah, you're free to do that, but it's foolish. It's foolish. Animals know better than that, brethren. And I know I'm preaching to the choir here, but we just gotta get real. Our freedom, if we're not careful, can make us foolish. We're seeing it in our society. People that are free, but because they're free, they become fools. It goes on and on. In our society, we can look at so many different angles about that we live in a country where people, yes, they are free to do many things. They're free to make many decisions, but it doesn't change the fact that those decisions are foolish. But you know, if we're not careful as Christians, we can do the same thing. See, we do have freedom in Christ. I showed you that in Romans. I didn't show you, but I told you in Romans chapter number 6, the Bible says you're free from sin, right? In John chapter 8, Jesus said, whom the Son has set free is free indeed. Jesus said, hey, fellas, I'll set you free. But don't let that freedom make you foolish. I think about in Jude, the Bible says in verse number 4, I believe it is, it says that they turn in the grace of God into lasciviousness. There's a crowd running around, and maybe there's even some here today. I doubt it, but it may be. There's a crowd running around saying, well, we live in this grace dispensation. We're no longer under the law. We're free. And yes, we are. Thank God for it. But don't let that freedom make you foolish. Are you with me, brother? There's people that have made that freedom, that freedom that they have in Christ has made them foolish. They say, we're under grace. We can live how we want to. We can do what we want to because we're not under the law. We're under grace. I can't tell you the times that I've had folks tell me, we're not, no, you guys are under the law because we believe in holy living and we believe in separation and sanctification. And they say, you're under the law. We're in the grace dispensation. Can I tell you what the Bible says about grace? It says that the grace of God that bringeth salvation hath appeared to all men. Listen, teaching them to deny ungodliness and worldly lust and to live soberly and righteously in this present world, to live soberly, righteously, and godly in this present world. Amen. That's what the grace of God does. Amen. Grace doesn't give us a license to sin. Amen. Paul said in Romans chapter 6, that same section I was talking about, Paul said what? Because you're under grace, you're just going to live however you want to? God forbid. Amen. He said, that's foolish. You think just because you're under grace, you can do what you want to do, you can live how you want to live? He's saying, well, you know what Paul's saying? He's saying, that's foolish. He said, your freedom's making you foolish. And I'm afraid that one of the biggest ways that can happen is what my message is on this morning. That's what's going to bring us to John chapter number 15. One of the biggest dangers we face as a Christian that live in a free country. Christians that have been set free from sin. Christians that we're proud of our independence, and I'm not in a positive way. But one of the dangers of living in an independent society, a society where you have freedom and liberty, one of the dangers of being a Christian and having liberty and freedom is Christ, that it can make us foolish. And we can begin to think this. We can begin to become independent and not dependent. The title of my message this morning is this. I thought about this. I think it's Shakespeare. To be or not to be. That is the question, right? Is that William Shakespeare? Somebody's shaking their head. Yeah. You don't know Adam. Shaking his head like he knows. He does. He's right. Hamlet, I believe it is. Is that right? Oh, yeah. See, y'all didn't know I was a literature major either, right? To be or not to be? That is the question. My message this morning is this. Independent or dependent? That's the question. Independent or dependent? That's the question. See, we live in a country where people are celebrating their independence, and I thank God for that. I want to make that very clear at the very beginning of the message. That's why I said what I said. I'm thankful that we live in a nation that has celebrated independence. Thankful for my liberties and my freedoms. But I don't want those liberties and those freedoms to make me foolish and to think that I see we're living in a society where people that's made them foolish. And even in Christianity, it slipped into our churches. We got churches that the freedom that they have in Christ has made them foolish. And then we can take that down to an individual, and we as individuals, if we're not careful, listen to me this morning, brethren, it can happen to any of us. If we're not careful, the freedom that we enjoy in Christ will make us fools. Are we independent or dependent? That's the question. That's what brings us to John chapter number 15 and verse number 5. Jesus is telling his disciples here, guys, you need me. Look at verse number 5. It was already read in your hearing. Jesus said in verse number 5, he said, I'm the vine and you're the branches. He that abideth in me and I in him, the same bringeth forth much fruit. For without me, ye can do nothing. Jesus told his disciples, guys, you need me. Now, a couple chapters ago, I told you in John chapter 8, he told his disciples, guys, or he told those believing Jews, he said, hey, if whom the Son set free is free indeed. So he told them, you're free. But now here in John chapter 15, he's saying, but you need me. Would to God our country would realize how much we need him. Would to God our churches would wake up and realize how much we need him. Would to God that me and you as individuals, as Christians, some of our young people would get a hold of the truth of how much we need him. As our nation celebrates its independence today, let us not forget we are very dependent. I want to go on record this morning and say to you that are here and to the you that may be watching through live stream, I am a very dependent individual. I need God. And whether you realize it this morning or not, and I would say most of you do to be here on a morning like today, you need God. Our country obviously doesn't realize anymore how much it needs God, but our country needs God. Our country doesn't need a new president, though we wouldn't hurt to have one, but our country doesn't need a new president. Our country doesn't need new mayors and new judges and new laws. No, our country needs God. Amen. That's what our country needs. We need God. We need to realize that this country, our founding forefathers realized something. They realized they needed God. They came here understanding that if this country was ever going to be what it was meant to be, it was going to take God Almighty. You can look through our founding documents, and I don't care what those soothsayers say and those deniers say. Oh, I've heard all their arguments about our country, and were those men perfect? No, they were not perfect, but I can tell you this. You can read it. It's in writing. It's in statues all over our nation's capital. Those men understood we need God. And can I tell you, we need Him today. Independent or dependent? That's the question. I want to preach to you this morning on that thought. With that thought in mind, I want to say this first. You know we need Him. I've already said it. We're very dependent upon God. Look in John chapter number 15 and verse 5. Jesus said, without me, you can do nothing. You can do nothing. Acts 17, 28 says this, for in Him we live and move and have our being. Colossians 1, verse 16 and 17 says this, for by Him were all things created that are in heaven and that are in earth, visible and invisible, whether they be thrones or dominions or principalities or powers, all things were created by Him and for Him, and is before, and He is before all things. And listen, and by Him all things consist. You know what that word consist means? It means they're held together. Can I tell you, we need Him. In case there's somebody here this morning that doesn't realize it, I'm praying, I've been asking God, God, help somebody this morning. Help me, God. I want to realize, I want to understand how much I need You. We need God. Our country needs God. Our world needs God. Because all things consist by Him. All things are held together by Him. We are very dependent upon Him. He sends the rain, brethren. He sends the sunshine. He gives us our breath. He gives us our ability. He blesses us with things that this world knows nothing about. It's Him. We're dependent upon Him. Without Him, we're nothing. Without Him, we're destitute. Look at verse 4. Verse 4, He said, abide in me, and I in you, as a branch cannot bear fruit of itself except it abide in the vine. No more can ye except ye abide in me. He said, you can't bear fruit. Without me, you're destitute. You know what that word destitute means? It means this. It means not having. It means wanting. It means not possessing. It means needy. You see, without Him, brethren, we're destitute. We're needy. We're without anything. We're without possession. We cannot bear fruit without Him. We're destitute. We're dependent. We're depraved. He said you can do nothing. You know what that means? That means absolutely nothing. Hopeless. That's what the word depraved means. It means absolutely hopeless. Without Him, that's what we are, brethren. Without Him, we are depraved. Without Him, we're destitute. We can't produce any fruit. We can't do anything without Him. Without Him, we're in danger. Look at verse number 6. He says, if a man abide not in me, look at it. If a man abide not in me, he is cast forth as a branch and is withered, and men gather and cast them into the fire, and they are burned. You see, without Him, we are in danger. That's an interesting verse. I'm not going to get into it this morning. You say, well, is that talking about saved people or lost people? I'll tell you what it's not talking about is saved people becoming lost. I'm confident of that. Confident. Because the Bible teaches against that 1,000 times over. Now, there's two different positions, and I think both of them are pretty strong. It could mean that we're a castaway, as Paul said. Paul said, I don't want to be a castaway. Paul said, I'm bringing my body in subjection. He said, I'm striving for the mastery. I don't want to be a castaway. I don't want to be set to the side. I don't want God to be done with me. You see, that can happen to a Christian. All of us know some Christians that, yes, they're saved, but they quit abiding in Christ, and they've been set aside. They've been cast to the side. They've been set apart. Could be talking about that. I don't know. Maybe talking about lost people. Branches that aren't real branches. They kind of look like a branch, but they don't produce any fruit like a branch, and therefore they really are not a branch. I mean, it's interesting the phrases that he uses. If you read down through here, he says, ye, me. And then verse 6, if a man abide not in me, he is cast forth as a branch and is withered. And men gather them and cast them. No longer ye and me. It's he and them. You find that in Thessalonians, a different place in the Bible, when the word of God is references between saved people and lost people. I don't know. I think both positions are very strong, and I didn't even mean to get into all that this morning. But I'm going to tell you this. Saved or lost, without him, you're in danger. That's what I'm trying to say. Saved or lost, without him is a dangerous place. Danger. That's where we're at without him. That's why he's wonderful, brethren. That's why he's wonderful. That's what's so great about him. Because without him, we're nothing. Without him, we're depraved. Without him, we're destitute. Without him, we're in danger, brethren. We got to have him. And so, independent or dependent? I say dependent. I want to give you a couple things that Jesus said we need, why we're dependent upon him, and then I'll be done. Number one, I want to say this. There needs to be a connection. There needs to be a connection. Look at it, John 15. I'm not going to read all these verses, but I mean, it's very clear. He said, I'm the true vine, and my Father is the husbandman. Every branch that's in me. You see that in verse number 2? He said, in me. Verse number 4, he says, abide in me, and I in you. At the end of verse number 4, except ye abide in me. Verse 5, I am the vine, ye are the branches. He that abideth in me, and I in him. You see that? Verse number 7, if a man abide not in me. Right? In verse 7, if ye abide in me. You see the emphasis here? Being in him. There's a connection there. Are you connected to him this morning? Because we've got to be connected to him. Independent or dependent? I'm telling you, brethren, we're dependent. We have got to be connected to him. I looked it up this morning. If I count it correctly, and I may not have, my math's not as good as my literature. But I counted this morning, and 78 times in the New Testament, and it's only in the New Testament, 78 times in the New Testament, the phrase in Christ is used. Now, you might go back and count. It might be 80, 79, 77. I don't know. I mean, I didn't recount and count and recount. I count it like they did our election, just, you know, one time, and it wasn't all that good, really. But so 78 times the Bible says in Christ. We got to be connected. Brother Jimmy didn't even know I was preaching on this morning. Come up to me, and he started talking to me about being in him. He said, we're in him. We got to dwell. He dwelleth in us, and us in him, right? That's what the Bible says. The Bible says that we're in Christ, right? 1 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 17. Therefore, if any man be in Christ. You hear that? Therefore, if any man be in Christ. In Christ. He's a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. You see, we got to be in Christ. Romans chapter 8, verse number 1 says, there is therefore now no condemnation to them that are in Christ. Are you with me, brethren? There's no condemnation to them that are in Christ. You got to be in Christ. Verse number 2 of chapter 8 says this. It says, for the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus hath made me free from the law of sin and death. You see that? The Spirit of life in Christ Jesus hath made me free from the law of sin. There it is again. When we're in Christ, we're free. So you got to be in Christ. You got to be connected to Christ. I wonder this morning, brethren, are you connected to Christ? You say, well, Brother David, I'm at church on Independence Day with sickness and all that's going on. Obviously, I'm connected to Christ. I don't know. Only you do. I'll tell you this, you need to be. It's absolutely a necessity. We have to be in Christ, dependent on him. So we got to be in Christ, number one, the connection to Christ. There's got to be a connection. I threw this in there, and I just want to say this in passing. Not only is there a connection to Christ here, but I really believe if you read between the lines here, there's not only a connection to Christ, there's a connection to the church. You say, how do you find that, Brother David? Well, I mean, one, Christ is the vine. He said, you the branches. So there's more than one branch. Those branches are those that are in Christ. That's the church. Right? Ephesians, the Bible says this in Ephesians, I don't know what chapter it is, Ephesians chapter number 4 or 5 maybe. It says Christ is the head of the church. Right? Christ is the head of the church. And so if we're in Christ, then we are connected to the church. Because he's the head. And the church is the body. And so if I'm in Christ, if I'm in the head, then I'm a part of the body, and that's the church. And so I see here, not only is there a connection to Christ, but there is a connection to the church. Now you say, Brother David, I'm a little bit sharper on my Bible than that. You're talking about a universal church. Now that's pretty obvious. And what I'm talking about is the body, the universal body of Christ. But there's no question, if you are a student of your Bible and a student of the Word, that there is within the universal church, there is a local church. There's a local church. And we need to be connected to that church. Now, I know you're here this morning. Praise God for that. And there's some watching by live stream. Some of them couldn't be here this morning. Some of them could be. I'll leave that between them and God. I'm just saying this. We've got to stay connected to Christ, and we've got to stay connected to the church. One of my biggest fears, and I got to move on, but I want to say this because our pastor ain't here to say it this morning, and I know he probably feels this way. One of my biggest fears about what's happening right now, one of my biggest fears is people getting disconnected. I've already seen it, brethren. There's folks right now in our church family that are disconnected. They've been sick, and they've been down, and they think nobody cares. And it's the devil. If you're watching at home this morning, I want to tell you from the bottom of my heart, I care, this man cares, our church cares. Don't you believe that lying, cheating devil, because he's a liar and he's the father of it. And I'm telling you, he's telling somebody this morning, because you've been a little bit sick and you've been a little under the weather, maybe you've been real sick, I don't know, maybe you've been going through a hard, difficult time. I know our enemy. We're not ignorant of his devices, and I'm telling you, we have an enemy that would love to capitalize on sickness in our church family. He would love, Brother Allen taught on unity this morning in our Sunday school class, and I'm telling you, I said, I know the devil, and that's one of my biggest fears right now, is that the devil's going to try to step in and sow discord among the brethren and disunify this church because they're not connected. We're not connected. It's very important that we're connected, brother. You say, why did y'all have church this morning? Don't you know what's going on? Yes, we know what's going on, but we also know what's going on, and we realize that we need to stay connected. It's important, brethren, and I'm not beating up. I'm trying to encourage and help. As soon as you're able to get back into the house of God, get here, because it's important. As Christians, we need one another. When no man liveth to himself and no man dieth to himself, we're a body and we need one another. We need to be connected to Christ, and it's being connected to Christ, we need to be connected to his church. I can't tell you the people that have really messed up and gone astray and become a castaway, because they got disconnected to the church. And so I see, number one, there's a connection. I could preach on that all day. I'm afraid of that. I'm afraid of that. There's folks I just found out have been feeling bad. And if you're watching this morning, it's not that I didn't not call you because I don't care. I didn't know. And I just know the devil. He'll say, oh, they don't care about me. That's a lie. That's a lie. We got to stay connected. Number two, I got to move on. There needs to be a connection. Number two, there needs to be a cleansing. There needs to be a cleansing. Look at verse number two. It says, I'm the true vine. Verse one, my Father is the husband. Every branch in me that beareth not fruit, he taketh away. And every branch that beareth fruit, he purgeth it, that it may bring forth more fruit. Verse three, he says, now ye are clean through the word which I have spoken unto you. You see why we're very dependent upon him? I'm talking about being dependent and not independent. Why are we dependent? Number one, because we got to be connected. We're not going to be fruitful. We're not going to grow. We're not going to produce what we need to produce if we're not connected to the vine. But not only that, we need cleansing. We need cleansing, brethren. That word purgeth, that's an interesting word. And you know, for some, the word purge actually means to cleanse, right? There needs to be a cleansing. Jesus said in the very next verse, now you're clean through the word which I've spoken unto you. Ephesians chapter 5, verse 26 says that he might sanctify it. Talking about his church now. He said that he might sanctify it and cleanse it with the washing of water by the word. See why we need to be connected to Christ and connected to the church? Because we need cleansing. We need cleansing. We're dirty vessels, and if we're not careful, that dirt will get on us. And it's like a person that I have a tomato plant. Yeah, y'all laugh all you want to. That's all we need around my house is one, right? When we run out, I'm going to call some of you that got 10. But I got a tomato plant, and I go out and check that thing out. And the other day, I had some little beetles on it. And I called somebody to know something about them, and I took my phone. I said, do I need to take a picture of these things and send them to you? What do I need to do about this, right? You need to purge it. You got to spray something on it. Get them off of it, right? That's what he's saying. He's saying, hey, you need a purging. You need a cleaning. And you're clean through the word which I've spoken unto you. Psalm 119, verse 9 says, wherewithal shall a young man cleanse his way? By taking heed thereto according to thy word. Right? The word of God, it cleanses us. We're washed by the word. That's what Jesus said. You're clean through the word which I've spoken unto you. And he said in verse number 3, now you're clean through the word which I've spoken unto you, right? That's where we get our cleansing from. And that's why we got to stay connected to the vine. We're very dependent upon this vine. We're very dependent upon Jesus, because if we're not careful, we'll get dirty and we need some cleansing. Not only that, we need correcting. Some people believe this word purging has to do with pruning. It talks about the Father as the husbandman, right? And every branch in me that beareth not fruit, he taketh away. That's he goes in there and he starts pruning, removing things that don't belong there. That's why it's important. We're dependent upon him, because we just, without him, we can't do nothing. We need him to cleanse us. We need him to correct us. In Hebrews, we say, despise not thou the chastening of the Lord. We're not to despise the chastening of the Lord. I believe it was Warren Wiersbe. I wrote it down. I believe it was Warren Wiersbe that said this. He said, we're never closer to the Father than when he's pruning us. See, we don't like that. We don't like when the Holy Spirit uses either the Word of God or the man of God or even the Spirit of God. And he comes in, he points out something in our lives that we need to get out of our lives. And whether it's some form of entertainment, or whether it's some form of friends that we're hanging around with, or maybe it's something that's come between us and God. I don't know, what some attitude or whatever it may be. Something has gotten into our life, and the Holy Spirit of God comes in and he begins to work in our lives. And he begins to prune us, and he begins to correct us, and he begins to chastise us. You see, we need that. We need that from him. We're dependent upon him. If he left us to ourselves, brother, we'd be in trouble. I hope somebody's getting this morning. I'm telling you right now, if God left me to myself, one of the things that I am so, as I grow as a Christian, I one of the things that really excites me about being a Christian is that in my life, the Holy Spirit's correction in my life, I need it. I'm thankful for how the Holy Spirit of God corrects me, and how he chastises me, and how he prunes me, and how he works on me, because if I was left to myself, I would be in a mess. Without him, brethren, we're nothing. We're nothing. Very dependent upon him, his correction. Don't despise it. Abide in it. Don't despise the correction of the Lord when he's working in our lives. I'm about to move on. Listen to me, brethren. If God is doing a work of correction in your life right now, don't despise the chastening of the Lord. Accept it. Learn from it. Allow God to work in your life. I thought about using this illustration this morning about being dependent or independent. I've got a baby right now. Wren is almost 10 months old. I was going to say what day, but I'm not good with birthdays. Now, the 18th should be 10 months old. And you know what? She's just getting to be. We got a little playpen we put her in, right? I mean, she's in prison. I put her in prison. I'm like always saying, somebody put that child in prison. Goodness gracious. She has finally gotten to the place. She can't even crawl yet. It's a miracle. I'm telling you, I need to set a video camera in my living room. I'm telling you, the child can hover. I'm serious. I have watched her. I told Mary, I have sat here for 15 minutes watching this child, and I have not seen her move, but yet she's on the other side of the room. Y'all think I'm lying, but I am dead serious. I cannot figure it out. The child cannot crawl. She don't even do the gorilla scoot that Avery does. I mean, she literally somehow, I don't know if she just, you know, slowly like an inchworm, you know, I can't, I've never caught her yet. But she moves across the room. And I said, somebody put that child in the playpen. Why? Because she's gotten a little independent. And her freedom is making her foolish. You can give her puffs. You can give her passy. I got an alliteration right there. Give her puffs, give her a passy, or you can give her, I don't know. But anyway, I'll think of something later, right? But you know what she wants? A piece of trash. It's amazing. I'm going to move on, but I just can't get over it. I'm serious. I mean, it's amazing. She will sit there and look. You can see her. I mean, she will find a little fuzzball. I think I'm going to eat that. And I'm like, well, you got puffs, you got a passy, and you want a piece of trash. What in the world is wrong with you? But her freedom is making her foolish. She needs some correction. We're going to start correcting her. We already started, but we're going to start correcting her even more. See, we don't believe, I'll just throw this in here. This is extra. Pastor taught me this one. We don't baby-proof our house. We house-proof our baby. That's good preaching right there. Some of you young couples need to learn that right there. You don't need to baby-proof your house. You need to house-proof your baby. That's what God did. He said to Adam in the garden, and he said, hey, don't eat from, you can eat from any tree in the garden, but don't eat from that tree right there. And it's right smack in the middle of the garden. Right? Say, so, well, he ate from it. I know, and they will too, and that's when they need to be corrected. That's good preaching. We need to correct them, right? That's another. But that's what happens when people get some freedom. That's what's wrong with our country. Man, I could preach on this right now. We're living in a country where the long arm of the law has been stripped out from underneath of it, and there's no correction, and their freedom's making them foolish. And in Christianity, I think it's happening in Christianity. If we're not careful, in churches, we just let people think they can do whatever they want, live however they want. Nobody can tell them anything. They'll get blowed up, and they'll go down the street, and they'll go to another church. Well, okay, get blowed up and go down the street and go to another church. But we as Christians every now and then just need the man of God to stand up and correct us. Amen. From the Word of God. Amen. We need it. Amen. Thank God for it. Amen. Correction. Number four, I'm almost done. Communion. He said, you in me, abide in me, and I in you, abide in me, and my words in you, and ye shall ask, right? In verse number 7, there needs to be constant communion between us and him. He says, abide in me, and I in you, and you in me, and I in you, my word in you, and you can ask me. He says, I'll speak to you, you speak to me, my word in you, you talk to me. That's communion. And brethren, we have got to commune with him. We got to communicate with him. I wonder how many of us, honestly, this morning, I'm talking to the cream of the crop, but how many of us have communicated with him today? How many of us have spent some time in communion with him? I can tell you I have. And I'm not boasting about it. I'll tell you why I have. Because I realize I'm dependent upon him. I can't do what I'm doing today without him. I could, but it wouldn't do any good. Because without him, I can do nothing. So nothing I could do today without him would amount to a hill of beans. But with him, he can take what I do and he can multiply it and bring forth fruit, more fruit, much fruit. Him. And I need him. And so I communicated with him numerous times today. Even during the song service today, I was over here mumbling to myself. Miss Sharon probably thought Brother David has done went plumb crazy. He's talking to himself. No, I was talking to him. I was saying, God, I need you. God, I can't do this without you. God, please help me. God, please, if anything good is going to happen today, it's going to be because of you, God. Please, I depend upon you. Amen. I wonder how many of us communicated with him yesterday. How many of us communicated with him this past week? I'm not beating up this morning. I'm trying to tell us how important it is. See, if we're not careful, living in a free country and having freedom in Christ, we'll become so independent that we don't realize we're very dependent. We need God. Our freedom will make us foolish. Are you with me, brethren? If we're not careful, our freedom in Christ will make us foolish. We'll get up and we'll go out of our house without taking 1 minute and saying, God, thank you for making me wake up today. God, thank you for my breath today. God, thank you for my health today. God, I need you to guide me today. God, I need wisdom today. God, I need your power today. God, please protect my mind today. God, please protect my eyes today. God, please protect my tongue today. God, please watch my feet where they go today. God, I need you, God. There's got to be communion. We got to get in His Word and let Him speak to us. And then we got to spend some time speaking to Him. There's got to be communion, a communication. We need it. Then last, there's got to be a connection. There's got to be some cleansing. There's got to be some correction. There's got to be some communion. And then last, there needs to be a continuing. There needs to be a continuing. That word abide, it means to remain. The word abideth, he uses abide and abideth. It means to remain. It means to settle down with. It means to dwell with. It means to continue with. There needs to be a continuing in our lives. I think about 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 14. The Bible says this. Paul told Timothy, but continue thou. He said, know this also, in the last days, perilous times shall come. And if you read down through that list, brethren, I've been saying this for a couple of years, but it's getting more and more clear every year. If you read down through that list in 2 Timothy chapter 3, it is very obvious that we are living in those perilous times. Men shall be lovers of themselves, right? Having a form of godliness, but denying the power thereof. Unthankful, unholy, traitors, heady, high-minded. Lovers of pleasures more than lovers of God. Many people today, and I know why many people are not here today, but I'll tell you why some people are not here today, because there's a cookout. Say, oh, I wouldn't say that, Brother Dave. You didn't, I did, and I'm fine with it. I'm okay with it, because I know it's so. There's some people that are not in the house of God today. It's not because of sickness. They're not scared of sickness. They're going to a cookout with 1,000 other people to watch fireworks and eat hamburgers and hot dogs and breathing all over each other, right? So it's not sickness they're afraid of. No, it's their sin. They love it. They love the pleasures of this world, right? And I know that sounds so mean, but it's where we're at. We're living in last days and perilous times. Men, lovers of pleasures more than lovers of God. They're having a form of godliness, but they're denying the power thereof. From such turn away. But then down in verse number 14, Paul told Timothy, he said, but continue thou. He said, but continue thou. He said, but continue thou. In what, Paul? Continue thou in the things which thou hast learned and the things which thou hast been assured of, knowing of whom thou hast learned them. He said that from a child thou hast known the Holy Scriptures. He said, Timothy, you just stick with that old way. You just stick with that old book. You just stick with that old church. You just stick with that old Bible preaching, that old worship of God and that godly living. You just stick with that stuff, Timothy. Even though this world has a form of godliness and they're denying the power thereof, and though this world is heady and high-minded and unthankful, and though this world is going down a total different road, he said, Timothy, you just continue. Just keep doing what you've been doing. And I'm just here to encourage you this morning, brethren. You know what we need to do? Continue. Continue. Yes, we face some sickness, but you know what we got to do? Continue. We faced a loss here in our church, and that breaks my heart. But I know my pastor told me this past week. He said, Brother David, you know what I got to do? Just continue. That's what you got to do. You got to just keep going. Just continue. I'm so glad to see you here this morning, Kate. I come over and told her, I'm glad to see you. You're in the right place this morning. Because you know what? When life gets hard and difficult times come, the Bible says in this life you shall have tribulation. There's going to be some hard times in life. There's going to be some hard places in life. There's going to be some storms in life. There's going to be some sickness in life. But I'm going to tell you, when those things come and when those things happen, what we got to do? Continue. Continue, abide, abideth, keep on. Just stay with the stuff. Stick close to the Savior, brethren. Stay with Him and continue. The Bible says in 1 Corinthians chapter 15 and verse number 58, He said, therefore, my beloved brethren, be ye steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord. For ye know that your labor is not in vain in the Lord. He said, just keep on going. Just keep on abounding. Just keep on standing. Just be steadfast. Over in Ephesians chapter number 6, when He was talking about we wrestle not against flesh and and blood, against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. He said, hey, you know what you need to do? He said, just stand. And having done all, stand. He said, just continue. Just keep going. Just keep standing. Just keep doing what you're doing. And I want to challenge you this morning, brother. That's what we've got to do. We've got to continue. We've got to abide in him and him in us and stay close to that vine and let him cleanse us and let him correct us and let him commune with us and let him work in us. And I'll tell you what will happen. We'll have fruit and more fruit and much fruit, and it'll abound. And that's the key. I'm not independent this morning. I'm dependent. If we're not careful, our freedom will make us foolish. We need God. Independent or dependent? That's the question. Let's bow our heads and close our eyes. I have the pianist come, if you would, and play.